relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
That's the kind of music we need. Thank you, Shad. We need some cheering up. I am Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the President of the United States, who tweeted this late last... Well, not late. Midnight's not late for the president. I wonder if he's sleeping at all. That guy is unstoppable. This is the question we all face as a nation. And he put it in a tweet, and he doesn't often use block capitals, but he did for this one. We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. At the end of the 15-day period, we will make a decision as to which way we want to go. Exclamation mark. We are more than halfway through the 15-day period to break the back of the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus was declared on the 15th of March. The 30th will be a week from today. And I can tell my old boss, he's starting to bristle. He's not happy about the things he's being told he needs to do. When you've got members of the cabinet, said I'd never criticize sitting members of the administration, but I'm going to say this. When you have national figures who are floating publicly the idea of a 20 or 30% unemployment rate, that's just irresponsible. Absolutely irresponsible. Yes, people have died. Yes, people will die. But we need to get us back on our feet before greater damage is done than is the threat posed by the Chinese coronavirus. Let's talk about what's going on in the real world. Let's put it into perspective. Shad, you had an interesting experience. Our new engineer. You said something to me on Friday. You commute to work, correct?
That's right. I take the metro.
How long's your metro in the swamp?
Usually about 35 minutes. Now it's closer to 45. They've reduced service.
You have to wait longer for the trains.
Exactly.
And there was a kind of, I hate using the word, zeitgeisty sense. What was your, you said something about what it feels like to commute into the swamp now in the midst of, because we're coming in, we've got our piece of paper from the Department of Homeland Security. We are essential industry because we're broadcasters. What's the feeling like when you commute in, Shad?
So first off, nobody's out. You know, there's definitely still some people who have to transfer.
So when you get on the tube, on the train, how many people?
Usually two or three in my car. I've had it just be me.
Wow.
During a transfer before, which was terrifying. There's nothing like being on a train by yourself. But what's happening is, have you ever taken the train in New York?
Yeah, sure. The metro.
It's starting to become more like New York, where there's this sense.
You mean super grungy and potentially dangerous?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, usually there's these cultural pressures. You know, there's something about how clean the metro is, how stuck up a lot of the people who take the metro are that kind of gives it a certain air, right? And D.C. is like any other city. You know, we have people who are unfortunately homeless. You know, we have a lot of people who are emotionally unstable, who are out on the street. They're not given the proper care. And usually those cultural pressures kind of prevent that from being an issue during the commute. Not the case anymore. You know, more often than not, especially in places where usually there would be a lot of people, there isn't a lot of people. And so those areas are becoming a lot more dangerous. You know, I've had guys, this has never happened to me during my commute. I've had guys screaming on the platform themselves, you know, running back and forth, accosting people of all ages, races, and genders.
Strange.
And, you know, it's just really, it's pretty consistent, you know. And on top of that, which is even worse, usually the metro is fairly sanitary, has not been the case. It's almost
they're not cleaning it.
They might be, but I don't know if it's a change in clientele. I don't know if it's a change in their cleaning policy, but I've been on more trains that have smelled like human feces over the course of the last few days than
I've been here. You're in a dystopian movie and Charlton Heston might just step onto your carriage.
Exactly. It's like The Warriors, that 1970s film.
Yes.
You know, it's like The Warriors. It's like 80s New York, you know, all over again, which is kind of terrifying. There were, you know, a block away from the Basilica. I have a friend who lives a block away from the Basilica, which is in northeastern D.C., drive-by shooting right across from him.
Right across from the Basilica?
Right across from it. Really nice neighborhood.
Yeah,
no previous problems.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that there's just this general air that, you know, people aren't following the law anymore.
We need to get back to business as soon as possible. Share with us your stories like Shad's story. Call us 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. And let's go from this super tactical, that's, you know, an anecdotal experience from one of our team members here in America First. And for those who missed it, it was a truly great interview. And it has nothing to do with me or Salem, but it has to do with who the person is that we interviewed and where he was and really his strategic perspective. I think it was just last week, we spoke to former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, who isn't in some dystopian D.C. District. No, he's in Italy. He's in Rome. He's at the place that is the third most infected coronavirus nation in the world. It's China, Iran, and Italy. And of course, because his darling wife just happens to be the American ambassador to the Holy See, to the Vatican, Newt splits his time now since the Trump administration began between Rome and D.C. And we spoke to him, and we have a little excerpt about things have changed. This is a formative period of time for the world. Let's listen to Speaker Newt Gingrich from Rome on America First. Play cut.
Very challenging, very difficult period, and I'm just watching her and watching her team. I'm very proud of the people who are trying to serve America. I would say a couple things for our friends back home. Rome is a very gregarious city. It is a very tourist-oriented city. It's a city with an amazing number of restaurants.
Yes.
So when I tell you the following, it should give you a sense of scale. Last year, we averaged 23,000 visitors to the Colosseum. Today, there were zero.
Wow.
Every restaurant in Rome is closed. The only places open in Rome today are grocery stores, which, by the way, are fully stocked. They're not like American grocery stores. I don't quite get the difference, but they have everything you want to buy, but they have a very controlled admission policy where, based on the number of square feet in the store, that defines the number of people who can come in.
Interesting.
And so people are very disciplined. I was out the other day and I saw people literally standing 6 feet apart in line, orderly, very un-Italian. I'm amazed at the speed with which the Italian people have adjusted to this reality. So restaurants are, grocery stores are open, pharmacies are open, gas stations are open, nothing else. And there are very strong rules against being on the road without some approved reason. They've issued 8,000 sanctions so far around the country, trying to get people to understand how real this is. And I think there's a pretty decent chance that in the next week to 10 days, we're going to see the virus in Italy begin to sort of flatten out and then gradually start coming down. But it has been a scary process. This is a real pandemic. Calista and I are living right in the middle of a city which is trying to deal with it. And it's truly historic. It's not like politics. I mean, of course, in your own life, you've seen this because you've been in places that were historic. And history is different. There's a different feel from politics. And I can tell you, Rome this week is in a historic place.
This isn't politics as usual. It isn't life as usual. We are living in historic times. That was former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. To get all of the interview, go to our website, go to our YouTube channel or the podcast. Let's squeeze in a call here in the first segment. Michael Columbus, line four. Welcome, Michael, to America First.
Hi, good afternoon, Sebastian Gorka. I just got to say I'm a huge fan of your show.
Thank you.
The big thing that I want to touch on is I work in IT in the States. I support people in South Korea mm-hmm. who are also working in the same kind of industry. And they are not doing what we're doing.
I know.
They're
not.
They are going to work.
Yep. No, they are.
And they are doing well. They're on a downward trend, too.
No, South Korea, Taiwan is on a downward trend. And the big difference is in these Asian countries, is the testing of individuals in terms of their temperature. So if you are moving from one location to another, if you're getting on public transport, if you are deemed to have a high temperature, then you are sequestered, you are dealt with as a potential carrier. So, yeah, Michael, it's not clear that everything we're doing is the right thing. The president, clearly, you can tell from his tone, you can tell from what he's saying, he's not satisfied either. We have 7 days left, and perhaps we have to learn the lessons from your colleagues and your friends in other countries. Back here on America First with the Heritage Foundation's Tommy Binion on what is happening on Capitol Hill with your money right now.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Everything we're going through as a nation right now will provide us with a new perspective. So many of us are suffering in terms of income, potentially losing our jobs. But let's think how blessed we are in comparison to families, to children, not far from our southern border, who just don't have any social net, who don't have people in the capital who say, oh, here's a billion, here's a trillion, we're going to help you. This, of course, is the mission of Food for the Poor, who are helping the children, the families that don't even have clean drinking water. Listen to Paul Jacobs of Food for the Poor on how different things are not very far from the United States.
But when you go to places like Guatemala, there's no safety net.
Yeah.
There is no welfare system. There is the body of Christ doing its best through you, the listener, and Food for the Poor.
The body of Christ doing its best, and that means you. We are, of course, still in the Lenten season, in the Easter season, and thanks to you who've already donated more than $20,000 to help feed these hungry children. If you are still living in the greatest nation on God's earth, if you feel like you've had a blessed life, yes, we're facing a national emergency, but others will go to bed with empty stomachs tonight, and that includes children. Please help them. Go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Feed the Starving Families banner. That's SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com, and click on the Feed the Starving Families banner, or call them at 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. I thank you, and the children you will be saving will thank you as well. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Now we are connecting to the mothership. Yes, indeed, the epicenter of the conservative movement. It is the Heritage Foundation fighting for our founding principles every single day, especially now when we see billions and trillions of your taxpayer dollars sloshing around the swamp. And we're talking to the Vice President for Government Relations, Tommy Binion. You can follow him at TP Binion on Twitter. Tommy, welcome back to America First.
Thank you for having me back. It's great to be with you.
So what's the latest? So we've been told, and I find this, I know it's difficult to put myself in the mind of Nancy Pelosi is not something I relish. But to try and argue the Democrat logic of the fact that there's this massive potential bailout coming, not something I'm a fan of myself personally, but she flies back from California, Tommy, to torpedo this. How does to stuff it full of Green New Deal, carbon footprint, concessions to solar panels? How does that make political sense? Have you come up with some possible rationale?
I didn't come up with it, but Nancy Pelosi's deputy, the majority whip in the House, Jim Clyburn, did come up with some rationale. He said, and this is a quote I'm reading to you, "This is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision." That is a redux of Rahm Emanuel's "Never Let a Crisis Yes. Go to Waste." You see, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Jim Clyburn are apparently seeing this bill and this crisis moment as an opportunity for political and partisan gain rather than a mandate to help to get people the help that they so desperately need in the middle of this crisis. And so what they did, the playbook is, first you've got to stop the bill, and that's what we saw on Sunday night.
Yes.
Then you've got to obstruct any progress. That's what we saw today with another failed cloture vote at 1:30. And then you've got to find a negotiating partner over whom you have leverage so you can get these changes to, quote unquote, restructure it to fit your vision into the bill. And that is, I'm afraid, where we are now. They're negotiating with Steve Mnuchin to put their vision into this bill. That's the present status quo, as it were.
This is a recent tweet from the president's son, Donald Trump Jr. "Democrats trying to cram in tax breaks for solar panels and emission standards for airlines into a relief pill that would help millions of Americans tells you all you need to know about the Democrat Party and their, quote, priorities." We have a very fresh audio cut from Senator Lindsey Graham, who had a rather bleak vision of what this all means. This is Senator Lindsey Graham, Chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Cut 11.
"I'm confident that if we don't produce a product today, then that will be the end of the Senate as we know it in the eyes of almost every American. We will have failed miserably."
The end of the Senate in the eyes of almost all Americans. Is it that bad, do you expect, Tommy Binion, or will blame be laid on those that are really being obstructionist?
I hope that the American people see who it is that they can blame for this calamity. But I fear that Lindsey Graham is right, that what you see, if you're working hard from home, taking care of your family on a busy day like today, that what you see in the evening news or as you're driving home listening to this program is a total circus, a group of partisan animals who can't get it together enough to get the relief out the door. I think he's right. A tremendous amount of credibility is at stake. This is, we all know this instinctively, but I think it's important to say it out loud. This is not an ordinary moment inside the United States Congress. This is not business as usual.
No.
This is extremely important business, but apparently it's politics as usual. And that ought to enrage anybody who spends the time necessary to figure out what's really going on here.
Is your sense that people, we live in the swamp, we follow these things, we're, junkies when it comes to politics and policy, but most Americans simply want action. Is that your sense, Tommy?
They want action. They want the parties to put aside their differences and do what they agree on. And they want those things, especially at a time like this. This is one thing when it's an annual spending bill or, a healthcare policy. This is a national crisis. And I got to imagine they're very disillusioned watching this on TV with the red numbers from the stock market and the red numbers from the coronavirus in the side panel there. I got to imagine that they are really disheartened by this display.
Yeah. People want to see results, and especially the man who's at the top of it all, my former boss, the President of the United States. He is about results. We're talking to Tommy Binion, Vice President for Government Relations at the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Follow him at TP Binion. We're going to get to your calls after the next segment with Tommy. Don't go anywhere. Greg, Richard, Harold, Dante, and Mark, in the meantime, please understand, I'm very serious when I say this. When you support our sponsors, you make this possible. This isn't NPR, so if you like what you're listening, use that logic and support great people, great businesses like MyPillow.com. Go right now to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468. It's your patronage of those sites that makes America First and all of our Salem family possible. With my name, G-O-R-K-A, you get 60% off Mike Lindell's incredible products. That's the biggest he's ever offered in terms of discounts. MyPillow.com, 800-829-8468. Special code, G-O-R-K-A. Back with Tommy Binion in a moment. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This country was founded by geniuses, but it's being run by a bunch of idiots. Why do the members of the United States Senate continue to double down on stupid? We have spent hours and hours and hours negotiating these provisions with our Democratic friends. This is not a slush fund. This is a bill to help people and businesses in America.
That was Senator Kennedy just a few moments ago, I think, really saying it how it is. This is the man who gave us that immortal audio cut with regards to the Speaker of the House. And I'm quoting directly, it must suck to be so dumb.
It must suck to be that dumb.
Nicely done, Shad. Let's go back to our guest. If you believe in the founding principles of our republic, please support the Heritage Foundation. They are there for you, and they've been there for you for decades. And we have the vice president of heritage.org with us, Tommy Binion. Tommy, I'm just going to put you on the spot right now. What is wrong with all the proposals, the legislation that's gone through or is imminently may go through the House and the Senate, and what should be done differently with regards to our response to this current threat of the Chinese coronavirus?
Well, we're talking about a moment where a legislative solution is badly needed. There are a lot of people listening to this radio program that are worried about their jobs and they're worried about their families. Help. And so let me say that the Congress needs to respond to this crisis strongly. This bill is not quite the ideal response. We're talking about $2 trillion. That even saying that number puts my stomach in a state of unease. And it's $500 billion for a vaguely described bailout. Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, is just kind of going to dole that money out at his discretion. If we are going to be bailing out big companies or certain industries, that should be an act of Congress. It shouldn't be left up to the discretion of the Treasury Secretary, either this one or the next Treasury Secretary. And then it is overly broad. There are a lot of businesses that aren't going to be affected by the economic fallout of the coronavirus. A lot of businesses that are doing just fine, maybe even better because of our circumstances have changed a little bit.
And they'll be getting money as well under this current agreement.
Exactly. And if you give them money, then you're not helping the people
who need it most with the most amount of resources you could be helping them with. And then we know, as we talked about last week, when you bail companies out, you change the incentives for the economy forever. So no longer is it important to run your business with a rainy day fund. Yeah. No longer is it important to run your business not at the very edge of the margin. Because if you're valuable enough to the United States, the federal government and the taxpayers will put a backstop on your business. And we just can't be liable for that as taxpayers. That cannot be a burden we're going to take on forevermore.
Economic behavior is human behavior, and incentives are crucial. And if you give the wrong incentives, you will be doing lasting damage to the way our economy works. We're talking to Tommy Binion, Vice President for Government Relations at the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. In the last minute we have with you, Tommy, what is the most important thing that we should be doing right now from the federal level? What is the relationship that should be protected by any measure coming out of Congress or the White House?
The president said this in his press conference last night. He said it is imperative to keep employees attached to their employers.
Yes.
He said that because he is forward-looking and he is imagining a day when we are coming out of this crisis. And rather than people attached to government programs and benefits, we want people attached to the employer they were attached to when this crisis began. The day these restrictions are lifted, we want people to go back to work, not to have to go to the welfare office to collect their checks.
So in 30 seconds, how do we keep them attached to those companies? What's the measure?
The benefits have to flow through the employer to the employee. So if you're trying to help an individual, give the employer a tax credit for any wages paid to the employee during this crisis. It's an epidemic tax credit. It's a simple idea. It would work fantastic.
I'm just not seeing the requisite level of imagination from the people who are advising the president or the people who are drafting this legislation. You said it. The president gets it in his gut. How we keep these companies on their feet and able to re-engage once we're out the other side. God bless you. I know that you and your colleagues are working so hard now to break down the swamp tendencies and to get the right solution. Thank you to Kay Cole James and everybody at the Heritage Foundation. Keep doing what you do. Thank you, Tommy. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're going to have a quick update on matters in the cultural war, then take your calls. Greg, Richard, Harold, Dante, Mark, don't go anywhere. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. If you're suffering from pain right now, please, can I give you an option? Can I give you another choice? Don't take the synthetic painkillers, the prescription painkillers, if they're not working, if they're having negative side effects. Try something that's natural. Just give it a try. I'm taking it. I took it for my lower back pain. It worked after my knee surgery. It is remarkable. Relief Factor is truly remarkable because it attacks the source of the pain, which is the inflammation. Go to ReliefFactor.com right now. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take it every morning, every evening for the 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me and tens of thousands of other Americans. As the president says at his rallies, what have you got to lose? ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Do it now.
This is America's Intelligence Update from the front lines of the culture war.
Welcome back, dear friends. Every Friday, Mr. G gives you an update of how we are winning the MAGA update. Every Monday, Eric, our colleague, gives you the update from the front line of the culture war, the things that you need to know that are happening that are just beyond the pale. We'll get to your calls in a moment. But Eric, what are the latest culture war updates?
Well, once again, even with a global pandemic, Democrats have their priorities in line. In Ohio, the state attorney general, Dave Yost, has ordered a halt on all abortion procedures, which is good. And this has sent far-left activists into an absolute frenzy. One of them said online, quote, "This is BS, complete and utter BS. The anti-abortion movement is using a public health crisis to essentially ban abortion." That comes from a woman named Renee Sherman, who styles herself as the queen of all abortions.
The queen? What kind of person actually comes up with a title like that for themselves? That's quite satanic. Unbelievable. Okay, so people have issues with the Attorney General of Ohio. What else do we need to know? What's going on out there in the front lines of the culture wars, Eric?
Well, as we know, colleges all across the country are being shut down due to this virus, and all their classes are being moved online. In my opinion, that's a good thing. this from the Epoch Times. Some professors are now worried that their lectures being more readily available online will leave them more susceptible to evil right-wing websites reporting on their anti-American biases.
Hang on. Let me fathom the logic here. More online courses, which means professors need to teach online, and they're afraid. What have they got to hide, Eric?
I don't know. One professor who commented on this whole thing, the fear of right-wingers reporting on them, Marcelo Graziano of Central Michigan University, suggested that in order to counter this, professors should produce their lectures by creating an upside-down version of the video. That's how fascists should end up, he says.
Is that a joke?
I assume not.
Oh my god! All right, Eric, we need to post all of these stories on our feeds. Give us something. Give us a little something more fun. What's your last story from the culture wars?
This is from a while ago, but oh man, I love this one. So we all know Marvel Comics, the Avengers, all that fun stuff. A couple weeks ago, they unveiled a handful of brand new superheroes. Their designs are all terrible, by the way. Two of them are two black teenagers. One of them is non-binary. Goes by the pronouns they, them. Their names are, drumroll, Snowflake and Safe Space.
Super, this is, guys, this is not a joke. I watched a video about this. This is the latest superhero gang from Marvel called Snowflake and Safe Space. And of course, the guy who's has to be from an ethnic minority, his superhero uniform is what color, Eric? Did you remember?
His is blue.
No, wrong.
His is the purple. Oh, that's right.
His is pink. His
pink,
is pink.
Right. And the girl
his
is a blue
pink,
one.
Of course.
Yeah.
This is, if you haven't watched it, Critical Drinker on YouTube, his review of the latest Marvel heroes is hilarious. They are going to tank Marvel if these are their ideas of superheroes. Thank you, my friend, for a fabulous update from the culture war. Let's post all three articles on our Twitter feed, on our Facebook page, and then you can get all the details. Let's go. I've been waiting so long to do this. Let's get straight to your calls. Let's go to Dante, line 5, Columbus. Welcome to America First.
Hi, Mr. Gorka.
Yes.
First of all, I'm going to adopt you as my son and put you in my will because I think you're a genius. And I'm going to tell you your next book should be Moving Ahead with the Genius of America by Sebastian Gorka.
That's very kind. What brings you to our show today, Dante?
Well, I wanted to recommend something from the Cato Institute by Ryan Bourne about the Corona economics, like a return of Keynesianism, and something by Heather McDonald. She's really good.
Yes, she is.
She's really genius. I like her, and also like Rush and Larry Elder and you guys. And I can tell you my two patents if you want to hear them, but I don't know if you want to hear that.
That's not
video.
Really quite why we're having callers today, but will you stay on the line? I need to know Heather's latest article and that article from the Cato Institute. Not a big fan of the Cato Institute, but Heather's great. So stay on the line. I need the names of those articles. Please give them to Mr. G. Let's go to Harold's been waiting a long time in Georgia. Line 3. Welcome, Harold.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and there are some things you can't make up. I stopped for fuel last night, and the girl behind the counter was so giddy that she thought she was going to get a handout. And I was like, oh, you must be a Democrat. She's like, well, yeah, you know, the future president. I said, oh, do you like socialism? How about communism? Because this is exactly what you're going to get if those idiots get in office.
And how did she react, Harold?
She's like, oh, that is the racist thing I ever said. I said, you know, how about your parents? Do they own their home or do they make a house payment? She's like, no, they got a house payment. I says, are your parents working? Well, no, the coronavirus put them out of work. I said, sweetheart, I said, do you own your own home? Well, no, I live with my parents. I said, so you don't have any bills. So it's okay that your parents and your grandparents are going to lose their homes because of the coronavirus. So you think you're going to get a bunch of free crap, but you got a job, so you're going to pay for it anyway. But I honestly don't think that people are actually going to forget this. And it makes me sad that the Democrats stopped this bill from helping the American people, which affected me. Because my wife is now out of work because of the, you know, of the fear. And it's sad. But I'll tell you a joke that she told me because...
You got to be quick, buddy. You got 10 seconds. Hit me with a joke. Go ahead.
She goes, okay, Joe Biden is going to give updates on the coronavirus downstairs. He might as well do it downstairs because he's got nothing upstairs.
Thank you, buddy. Keep doing what you do. Because you're a truck driver, we say thank you. Stay on the line. Got to give you a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. Say a prayer, not just for the front line, not just for the health workers, the first responders, but for the people who are making America still run, including our truck drivers. Get Harold's address and let's send him a book. We're going to get back to your calls in a moment here on America First. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that actually works. Pain relief that doesn't have a negative effect on your body. No negative side effects. And pain relief that doesn't... Look, do you know, if you're in pain and you take regular painkillers, whether they're prescription or over-the-counter, they don't fix anything. They actually target your pain receptors. They muffle the pain. They hide the pain. They don't fix the cause of the pain. Unlike Relief Factor. Relief Factor's ingredients, resveratrol, curcumin, omega-3, attack the source of the pain, which is the inflammation. That's why it's so powerful. Try it out for yourself right now. Order the three-week quick starter pack for $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And I guarantee if you take it for 3 weeks, morning and evening, you will know if it works for you like it works for me and tens of thousands of other Americans. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. What have you got to lose? Back to your calls in a moment.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Straight back to your calls. Mark in Cleveland, line five, waiting very patiently. Hi, Mark.
Second here. I've been on the line with Dr. Gorky here for about a half an hour.
32 minutes, exactly. Hello, Mark.
I played my commercial with Bob France today.
Mark, you got to use it or lose it. Hello. You lost it. You tried. We tried. We tried. Richard, Wisconsin, line two.
Hello, Dr. Gorka. I love your show. I listen to it as often as I can.
Thank you.
Which has decreased recently. I'm a speech-language pathologist. I was working as a contract employee with a critical access hospital in Cumberland, Wisconsin. Recently in the state of Wisconsin, they closed all of the public schools.
Yes.
The critical access hospital had contracts for two of their full-time SLPs to work in those schools, providing speech therapy to the students. Because of the school closure, they need to shift their hours from that to what I was doing, which was working in the skilled nursing facilities. It's hurting us all. I've been out of work now for a week. I applied for unemployment with the state of Wisconsin and was afforded that. My recommendation to the Senate would be to make sure that unemployment is fully funded and make it easier for people to apply for unemployment who have been affected by the coronavirus.
No, I think this is a crucial aspect. Richard, God bless you for what you do. Stay on the line. I want to give you a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. We should be using the increased unemployment rolls as one of the key targeted groups. If you've lost your job because of the coronavirus, you should be one of the people who's being targeted first for some kind of aid, but to get you back to work with your original employer. Great, great point there. God bless you. Don't go anywhere, Jeff, Vince, V. We're going to take your calls at the top of the next hour. Let's squeeze in Greg, who's got a completely different question. Greg, line one.
Yeah, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and we got talking about the Zelensky call.
Yes.
And he started citing things that didn't sound correct. And I wanted to see the actual text of the full transcript, unredacted. I searched on the net. I heard some readings of it on YouTube, but I really couldn't find anything that was unredacted.
You haven't accessed the White House transcript? It's out there.
Okay, so the White House transcript actually is the fully unredacted, not the partially redacted one?
It's the full. There is no. The president released the full transcript.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Because all I have to do is then pull that up and counter him and
pull it up.
He's reading all these shift points.
Yeah.
And
No.
That's not right.
Give him the full White House declassified transcript, and then if you want to have fun, send him the version that we acted. We took that script, and Leroy, my engineer, and I. He was President Zelensky with a pretty good Ukrainian accent. I was President Trump, and we acted it out for two whole segments of the show, and we're going to repost those on YouTube. You can find them yourselves. Greg, keep fighting the good fight. Back with Will Witt in the next hour, your calls, and more on the coronavirus cover-up from China.